home building and remodeling show. Let's go! Welcome everybody to the home building and remodeling show. My name is Chris Kirby and I'll be your host. I am the owner of three construction companies on the Alabama Gulf Coast. The show is about residential construction. We're going to cover topics of home building and remodeling. Are you thinking of doing a remodel or building a home? Are you a contractor looking to improve your knowledge base or grow your business? Have you ever done a remodel project or built a home? There were so many things you wish you knew or that you could have done differently during the process. Then this show is for you. We break down the process of building and remodeling and how to have the best results during your project. Whether you're a DIYer looking for tips, someone looking to hire a contractor to do a project, or a contractor looking to expand your knowledge base or your business. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Stay tuned. We kick off the show with my thoughts on home building and remodeling. I'll share best practices and talk about some of our experiences in business and out in the field. These shared thoughts and lessons learned are meant to help you on your very own journey. Let's go.
And what it is things like keeping the job site clean, keeping the job site safe. So there's actually 14 things on this sheet. And if they get below a 10 out of the 14, which would be less than a 70, okay, just in any standard, a C is, the standard. So if they get less than that, once we implement this and moving forward, we're going to hold them accountable for that because we do want to be better in every aspect of construction. And we want this to be on the job site. So the client sees that there's an accountability for our crews and that they're not just out there doing less than what we demonstrated should be expected as the standard for hiring our companies. And so what we do is we go out there and we check it off right here. You can see these lines, day one, day two, and it doesn't have to be days back to back. It can be periodic check-ins throughout the project, but one of our quality control people, our quality control person will go out and do this, or a project manager will go out and check this off and make sure that they're just, doing, it's got things like, if they're playing music, it should be at a tolerable level, different stuff. And I went back and forth about implementing something like this because, it's hard enough for people to do construction every day out in the field, they're working hard, especially demo days during remodeling. And so you think, well, some people are going to see this and say, really, I don't need this. This could be a little bit of micromanagement, but I want people to look at this as you work for a company who cares about their client, who cares about the standard, who cares about, these details are going to make us better. And so I want people who look at this and say, let's go. This is the challenge and I accept it. And I want to be better. I want to run my crew better. I want my job site better because sometimes they're out in the field and they're just, their head is in the work and they're not always able to just be mindful of this stuff. So this just gives them a little check sheet to make sure that they're keeping up with everything they need to. Are your tools in the right spot? Personal appearance. Are you smoking or vaping within a certain distance of the home? So those are things that we care about, and all of this comes from experience. We've always, ran into some issues or calls about different details that are on this checklist. Again, you can get this template if you become a subscriber to our channel or to our page via Facebook or Instagram. And then we'll put it on our series in TikTok. But you can get access to this and a lot more. We also have some courses that we're going to do and share. And again, just moving forward with the mission that we want to help other contractors. We want to help other businesses get better. And we're just sharing some of the things that we are actively doing in our companies to do that. So job site checklist. You can keep it simple, start simple. Just have something that holds your crews. If it's you, it helps you as well, just to be mindful of certain things to hold a standard while you're out there doing your work. And so this is an easy way to do it. Just make a little checklist. And since we have multiple crews, I believe we have 5 crews. So we put this on each job, put a little lanyard on it. We'll go down the checklist. We'll have quality control run through this checklist when they're out and about on the job sites to make sure that everything is as expected. And, then we're going to hold them accountable if it's not. And also, we're going to reward them if it is, because that's what we care about the most. We don't want it to always just be daunting and a negative thing. This helps us. It helps them. And that's why we did it. And now we move into Shop Talk. It's the portion of the show where I bring in a co-host and we cover trending topics in home building and remodeling. Hope you enjoy. Let's go. And we do that quite frequently, even on concrete especially, but like on a subfloor. Is the subfloor always level, and how do you get that to where
Most of the time on subfloors, it's wood, it's framed up, and it's usually level. But some of these old homes that we go in with subfloors, part of the house is settled. We'll have to, the best way is to raise it up, because you don't want to put concrete on wood.
Let me ask this, though. In those spots where, let's just say we've replaced a lot of the floor, we've put down wood, I've seen it where that the butt joint is, right? You can have some issues there. Do you sand those seams? Do you do anything to those? Or are you just putting down some type of barrier and going over that?
So on the plywood?
The plywood.
One side is going to be tongue and groove. It should be pretty level if it's...
I've seen where it's not. So, or where they've put it so tight together that you've got a little raised edge right at the seam of the plywood.
Right.
And a lot of people, they will just assume that it's level, and sometimes it's not. You've got a little hump.
If you put like LVP or something like that, over time, that stuff's going to
fill it. All right. And then for me, I need to
mostly pop
those seams.
Sand it down or shim one up.
Make sure
get it level.
You establish that the floor is level. What I'm saying there on that part is before you even start your prep, if you're on concrete, use self-leveler. If you're on a subfloor, you definitely still need to make sure that the floor is level and make sure that where your seams are, that those spots sometimes can have humps in them. So you might want to sand them down. Just make sure that it's completely level before you start actually putting your floor covering or your tile or your mortar, whatever it is, because eventually it's going to, just like with LVP, you're going to have spots that are humped and that'll crack and right. Stuff like that. You go in, you've leveled out the floor, you're using self-leveler. What is self-leveler?
So self-leveler is like a concrete, but it's real thin. And when you pour it and you kind of trowel it around, and it'll level itself out, you know what I mean? And make a very nice, smooth. Usually, most time what we use it for is when we jackhammer a tile that's been stuck for years, and we'll put big gouges
in the concrete.
We use it to coat the flooring to make sure it's all one smooth surface.
Gotcha. And are you able to just kind of lay it? Do you have to spread it, or does it kind of gravitate on its own? It
gravitates on its own, but you work it around, spread it out, and then it'll...
What do you got, like a trowel or what?
A trowel.
All right, so you're working that, and you get the floor level, and you got to check it, though. Once it's done, you're coming in there, right, with the 2-foot, 4-foot, whatever level, you're checking it. I got your floor level now. Then what's your next step? This is all a part of the roughing phase. I think we kind of skipped over before floor prep. If you have to do plumbing move, so part of your rough end, with us, we use Schluter, right? So before you start framing up, putting back the shower, putting in knee walls, you have to establish where the niche goes, right?
Yeah.
Niche, where your niche is, if there's multiple, we're going to...
When we're putting a shower together, first thing is we get the drain, where it's going to go.
Yep. So if you're at a tub,
center or offset, or if it's linear, wherever it's going to go, plumber's got to do that. We go ahead and get the valve, all the rough end plumbing done, and then we'll get with the customer usually because they want their niches where it's going to be the best for them to operate in their shower. We'll get that location, get it set in because it's a pre-made box. And then we'll put our setter pan and then start putting our curtain board on the walls.
And that's a foam board. The curtain board that we use is a foam board, if you don't know, where we used to use what's called Durarock, which is a cement backer board with red guard. But now the Sluder has different components that are supposed to work with it. The Curdy board, the Curdy bands, and all of that stuff go together into one system, right? For your waterproofing. And there's now, is there certain setting materials that you have to use for this stuff?
You got to use the Sluder. We use the All Set. And it's awesome. It's great. Yeah, pretty good. It's real fluffy, easy to work.
And so you go in and you waterproof, you use the strips on your corners, right? You're putting down, you've got the curb, right?
Yep.
All right. And you've set your pan. Plumber's come in. He's moved the drain. Now, sometimes you'll have to move your valves, right? Your manifold, depending on what you're doing. If you went from a tub to now a standing shower. So you'll move that stuff. And then you'll put in the niches where they go, right?
Right.
Waterproofed. Everything's there. Now what do you do after that part? Oh, and then also the electricians. Depending on how the shower was or how the bathroom was laid out before, if you've moved the shower to the complete opposite side or you took out a linen closet and made it a shower, you've opened up that space, but now you want to close that shower in. The lighting might be off.
Right.
Might have to do some light moves, vent fan, different things like that, correct?
Right. If we're working on a shower, the electrician, typically, he'll be in there while our guys are doing the shower, moving his electrical rest of the bathroom space. And then after the shower, we'll jump to that. But after you put all your waterproofing and everything, you want to fill your pan.
Water test it.
And water test it overnight. Make sure it's not leaking.
What does that look like? Talk to us about water testing your pan.
Okay, so they sell plugs, put in your drain, fill it up.
Yep.
And usually leave it shy on the top of the curb.
Yeah.
Way, you know what I mean? You don't want to flood the bathroom.
Now, should all of the water be in the exact same spot? How do you mark it?
I always mark it overnight. As long as you didn't lose over roughly about a quarter inch, because you're going to get evaporation. So, you know, as long as you didn't lose quarter to half inch.
And then, so you water tested that. And you want to do this before you start.
Pretty tower.
And the reason for that is, once you start putting down your mortar and start laying your tile, that's it. Now, right. If there's something wrong, you're pulling all that up.
Yes. Okay. So you usually, if it does leak, you can spot where it's coming from, and you can address it before you get too far into it.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Especially with like the Curdy system, that band, it's a waterproofing membrane. It's real thin. If you're trialing it on, you can accidentally slide.
You can stuff poke it or pull it with that trowel and cut it. All right. Bit two for the day. Always water test, flood test, whatever you want to call it.
Now we're going to move into the portion of the show where we talk interior design. We're going to bring in an interior designer and we're going to talk trending design and products. Hope you enjoy. Let's go.
But now we're getting a lot, now that our showroom actually carries a lot of the Richie Lou hardware, and they have different tones of gold on there.
Yeah. Shout out Richie Lou.
Yeah.
Tones of gold.
Yes. You're working with, that's why, and if you're in our showroom, that almost makes it easier because we know immediately what it's going to look like.
Yeah. They can visualize it. They can come in and see.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another scenario. So that's just one. And where you said another best practice or tip is, you know, don't be in such a rush as a designer to order that material without reading the reviews.
Right.
And what are some of the things that, you know, color, like the color is off. It's not as it. So do people put that in their product reviews? It's not as displayed.
You know,
or,
and you got to be careful. You know, everybody is different too. So reviews are going to be.
Sure.
Fluid.
Yes.
If that's the
problem. Very opinionated.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's different. You just have.
But you're looking for real, like. I'm looking for a little bit like.
And if there's enough of it, if people repeating the same thing, this looks nothing like the hardware color.
Gotcha.
It's pretty obvious.
So read the. If everything seems okay, you press order, it comes in, and let's just say it's right. Now, as the interior designer, you've been through that entire process. Are you there for installation? Because stuff happens during.
I got a paint job going in Monday, and I'm going to be there.
Going in. See, yeah. I love how Courtney is out right now on an install to watch it be installed and just be accountable, right? Because a lot of the times, as we're going through the construction, the designer, we've talked about this, is really the advocate, and they are the client advocate, and what you've shown the client needs to come true.
Right.
And so you're there because, and we've had it, we had a niche recently that we were questioning the location, our construction guys, where they put it, where it actually ended up being was maybe a little bit different. So it is important for you to evaluate and be on site.
Right. Just you can never communicate too much tile layout, wall color. I've literally gone to homes and put wall color on every single wall.
Yeah.
I mean, because
Pretty has been through a project I've seen, and she literally writes on the wall. She'll write notes and stuff, pre-demos.
You can go wrong so fast.
Yeah. And that's what we appreciate. And one of the things that, you know, sometimes if you're just an individual interior designer, you're really project managing at a certain point, and it can become daunting to understand why you can't do something or code or contractor language.
Right.
So we've tried to merge the concepts, and we're still working together on that, because there are things that you may have in the vision that in reality, if you give our guys a box of tile and set it in a shower and say, I need this installed, they're going to go to town. Right?
And the way I need it to be installed.
The way that they think.
And Asia and I are going to work on a little reel for that, the tile layout. So
perfect. Because it is important. And you don't want to, contractors, here's a tip for you. If you are working with a designer, and constant communication is the key, but check their intentions. Tile layout, too, a big one that can get you in real trouble is the hardware placement and mixing the knobs and handles and putting them in the wrong spot. Because if you've got super high-end custom cabinets and you drill those holes for the wrong hardware, you are going to cost yourself time and
money.
Right.
And sconces are really big right now, too, especially in the bathrooms. And those have to be, is kind of ironic, because that's something that you wouldn't normally need to be picked out before the rough-in or whatever. Yeah. But the sconces come at different heights, and they come in different lengths and widths. And,
you know.
So, like, for the Dickey house, Joanne, we got to lock in these sconces, because we need to know where our electrician has to have that for the four-way.
Correct, so, because some of the technical aspects of that, and this is, I mean, another tip, we're just throwing out some of the tips, but when you're looking at, so the electricians come in and they're going to place those boxes. And what she's saying is, when you're looking at ordering the sconces or whatever hardware it is, those base plates for some of those sconces are huge. They may literally not fit in the space.
Right.
Or they may be, and this is something that designers get very picky about. If it looks off, right? So if it's supposed to be centered and the base plate is huge and it touches the ceiling, oh, you guys get so aggravated
with some of that stuff. We're trying
that to. We may, as contractors, we may be like, oh, it looks good. And you come in and be like, holy moly. Yeah.
But we're trying to eliminate the recovery process too, right? And we don't want our electricians having to go back in and do that. And they're going to look at us and really be upset Well, if they're having, because now you got drywall, now you got to fix the drywall, now you got to texture the drywall if it was textured, repaint all that. So we're trying not to open a can of worms. So the more, but like I said, that's not, I feel like just now because it's trending so much with the sconces, that wasn't the case 10 years ago. I don't think really a lot of people were having to consider that.
Yeah.
And that wasn't on the front end of
construction. No, you had vanity lighting and stuff like that, I mean, but not sconces like we're doing now. We're doing a lot.
Time to think that through and to pick out that lighting. But now there's instances like that where you just really need to know some of those slopes.
We ran into it on the small cottage we did over in Robertsdale. Essentially, our electricians came in per plans, put the boxes where they needed to go. The client purchased their own lights for the exterior, and the gooseneck actually, it could be installed because the gooseneck was too tall for the area outside. And then, see, they did it. They did it, right?
Did he? Because the same thing. No.
He did not. They did not go with the design package.
Eliminated.
That would have been eliminated. Maybe I would have caught it. But Christy would dang sure catch stuff like that. It's the details that
it is the details.
Are so great about having an in-house interior designer. So we'll wrap it up with that. Thank you for talking about mood boards, cluing us in on how much they help, and then going into detail and giving us some tips. And until next time, we appreciate you all watching. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. As always, we are grateful for our listeners and your continued support. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Get more info at our website, www.thehomebuildingshow.com. And as always, remember who we are, the Home Building and Remodeling Show.